You're talking, we could have a non-directional mic where you can just pick up the whole room when everybody's sharing and everything, and everybody hears directly on the web. There's people that do that. Okay, tonight. Osteen?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, tonight, chapter 7, 1 Corinthians. Start with the first verse. Now concerning the things whereof you wrote to me, it's good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife and every woman have her own husband. Let the husband render to the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife to the husband. The wife has not power over her own body, but the husband. And likewise also the husband has not power over his body, but the wife. Defraud ye not one another, except it be with consent for a time, that you may give yourself to fasting and prayer, and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. But I speak this by permission and not by commandment, for I would that all men were even as I myself, but every man has his proper gift of God, one after this manner and another after that. I say therefore to the unmarried and widows, it is good for them if they abide even as I. But if they cannot contain, let them marry, for it's better to marry than to burn. And unto the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord, let not the wife depart from her husband. But and if she depart, let her remain unmarried, or be reconciled to her husband, and let not the husband put away his wife. But to the rest speak I not the Lord. If any brother has a wife that believes not, and she is pleased to dwell with him, let him not put her away. But the woman which has a husband that believes not, if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else were your children unclean. But now are they holy. But if an unbelieving depart, let him depart. A brother or a sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God hath called us to peace. For what knowest thou, O wife, whether you shall save your husband, or how knowest thou, O man, whether you shall save your wife? But as God has distributed to every man, as the Lord has called everyone, so let him walk, and so ordain I in all churches. Is any man called being circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. Is any called in uncircumcision? Let him not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing and uncircumcision is nothing, but keeping of the commandments of God. Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. Art thou being called being a servant? Care not for it, but if thou mayest be made free, use it rather. For he that is called in the Lord being a servant is the Lord's free man. Likewise also he that is called being free is Christ's servant. You are bought with a price, be not ye the servants of men. Brethren, let every man wherein he is called, therein abide with God. Now concerning virgins, I have no commandment of the Lord, yet I give my judgment, as one that has obtained mercy of the Lord to be faithful. Excuse me. I suppose, therefore, that this is good for the present distress. I say that it is good for a man so to be. Art thou bound to a wife? Seek not to be loosed. Are you loosed from a wife? Seek not a wife. But and if you marry, you have not sinned. And if a virgin marry, she has not sinned. Nevertheless, such shall have trouble in the flesh. But I spare you. But this I say, brethren, the time is short. It remains that both they that have wives be as though they had none. And they that weep as though they weep not. And they that rejoice as though they rejoice not. And they that buy as though they possess not. And they that use this world as not abusing it, for the fashion of the world passes away. But I would that you without carefulness, I would have you without carefulness. He that is unmarried careth for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he that is married cares for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife. There is a difference between the wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman cares for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and spirit. But she that is married cares for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. And this I speak for your own profit, not that I may cast a snare upon you, but for that which is comely, and that you may attend upon the Lord without distraction. But if any man think that he has behaved himself uncomely toward his virgin, if she pass the flower of her age, and need so require, let him do what he will, he sins not, let them marry. Nevertheless, he that stands steadfast in his heart, having no necessity, but has power over his own will, and has so decreed in his heart that he will keep his virgin, he does well. So then, he that gives her in marriage does well, but he that gives her not in marriage does better. The wife is bound by the law as long as the husband lives. But if her husband be dead, she is at liberty to be married to whom she will, only in the Lord. But she is happier if she so abide after my judgment, and I think also that I have the Spirit of God. Boy, is there some controversy in this one. Good stuff. Back to the first verse. Now concerning what you wrote to me, it's good that a man do what? The word touch is attach himself to. Better for a man not to attach himself to the woman. Nevertheless, or but, to avoid fornication, let every man not have, but possess his own wife. And let every woman possess her own husband. Okay? He's not saying don't go up and touch a woman with your finger. He's talking about intimate relationship. Okay? Between the husband and the wife. He goes on with his commandments here, and he says, let the husband give back to the wife what? What's it say? Huh? It's conjugal rights. What's that mean?
Sex.
There you go. Conjugal rights. See, it says her due benevolence. Does that tell you anything? Doesn't tell you a thing, does it?
Kindness.
Yeah. Just be kind to each other. That's not what he's talking about. It says, give back to her her conjugal rights. Okay? A lot of people in relationships, when things aren't going good, they withhold their conjugal rights from the other partner. Is that true or false?
Very true.
It's very true. They use it to manipulate back and forth. He's telling you that's not cool. That is not cool. Excuse me. And likewise also the wife to her husband. So this is not a one-way street, is it? He's talking about the man and woman both. Once you're married, he says, goes on to say, your body's not your own. My body's not my own. Right? Okay? So he says, verse 4, the wife has not power, but control. The wife does not have control over her own body, but the husband. And likewise also the husband has not control over his body, but the wife. Do you hear that? See, we don't have control over ourselves, do we? Verse 5 goes on and says this, defraud. You can change that one. It literally says, deprive ye not one the other. Don't deprive your wives their conjugal rights, and women, don't deprive your husbands of their conjugal rights. Okay? Except, or unless it be with what? Literally, agreement. With agreement. If one comes and says, look, I'm going to take some time off. I'm going to do some studying. I'm going to do some praying. I'm going to do some fasting. I'll let you know ahead of time. Don't come getting up close to me, because I'm going to be sharing some time with the Lord. Okay? And you both agree on this thing, and then that's the only way it gives you a way out. But if you both agree not to do it any other time, it's your business too. Okay? And he said that you agree for a what? Or literally an occasion. That you may give yourselves to fasting, and the word prayer here is not correct. Guess what it is? Worship. For fasting and worship. And then, what's the next word say? And come together again. Those words come together literally, cohabitate conjugally. So what's saying? Get back in bed together. Now, look what it says. Go on beyond that to see why he's saying that. Then you come back together again, or cohabitate conjugally, in order that Satan tempt you not for your what? Lack of self-control. Now, what happens in the mind of a person when, let's say, I'm going to be the bad guy, okay, in this understanding. And Lois comes in, and she's expecting something to go down. No, don't even have to be that way, okay? You're just expecting something to come up. And I don't contact her, but I go someplace, and I leave her without any warning of what I'm doing, Bob. She's out in the dark. We're separated. She has no way to contact me. My cell phone's off or out of range. She don't know where I'm at. What goes on in her mind?
Well, it depends where her mindset is. If she trusts you.
Yeah, but I'm saying the average person, okay.
The average person's gonna be suspicious.
Absolutely. So what does your mind start doing? Now, what have we said many times in the past? This Satan we're talking about, what is it? See? And there's the thing, the accuser in your mind starts to work. So when someone says, I don't want to sleep with my mate anymore. You know, I'm not interested. And they start shoving the one off. What's the first thing? If the man shoves the woman off, what's the first thing the woman thinks? He's got another woman somewhere. And it's the same way if you flip it the other direction. See, if the woman shoves the man off, she said, oh, well, while I'm off at work, she's out running around. See? I mean, that's what happens in her mind. That's what he's talking about, the accuser of the brethren. This Satan, the accuser. That's why he said, get back together so there is no place for it to get in there, this accusation. Okay? But I speak this by what? Actually, it says, I speak this by knowledge and not by commandment.
That was observation of what people know.
Or where he's lived himself.
He's
now, Paul at this very time is not married. But Paul was part of the Sanhedrin, which means he had to have a wife somewhere. So by knowledge, he had lived through some of this. Okay? When Paul starts traveling around, running all over the country, what do you think a wife would have said to him? When he disappeared for weeks at a time, months at a time. He's got a girlfriend somewhere. But you see, that's what our natural mind does. It accuses. If two people, it don't have to be a husband and wife, two friends. If me and Ed hasn't seen each other for 2 weeks, what's the first thing that starts coming in our minds? What is he mad at me for? Where'd that come from? Well, I didn't say everybody did. I said, but average people, they do think that way.
Really?
Yes. Ed said you're different anyway, so thank you. Say thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
There you go. But see, the average person will think, well, somebody's mad at me. That's not true. See, the greatest way, and that's what this principle he's teaching you here, is communicate. If you communicate, guess what happens? Keith, me and you had a disagreement one time, didn't we? A misunderstanding, I should say. You thought something, but we didn't communicate, did we? And you thought something was wrong, didn't you?
Yep.
Until we communicated. And then what happened to it?
It
just went away because it wasn't true. It was false accusations that our mind creates. See? Everybody has to fight the same thing. Whenever that accuser comes, what should you say?
Liar.
I'm not receiving that, see? Because you know better. And that's what relationship does for you when you know somebody. And the accuser comes to attack your mind from the inside, you can say, uh-uh, I ain't buying that. I ain't talking about that stuff. I ain't going there. Okay? Verse 7. Because I wish all men were even as myself, but every man possesses his own, not proper, but his own gift from God. Every man possesses his own gift. He said, I wish everybody's like me. No married, no responsibility, just me and God. That would be an ultimate beautiful thing, wouldn't it? That's what the spirit realm is all about. Doesn't the book say there's no male or female in the spirit realm? Well, guess what? Isn't that what he's talking about? See, there's no distraction of someone saying, well, I love this person more than I love God. In my relationship with Lois, my wife, guess what? I love God more than her, and that's no surprise to her. She expects that. But the same thing, I have to take the same thing right back because she loves God more than me. And that's the way it's supposed to be. And that's the healthiest relationship you can ever have. See? And no jealousy about it. If God tells her something, that's it. I don't argue with her about it. If she believes God told her something, then go. You do what God told you. Don't have to ask my permission. And the same thing the other way. She doesn't try to tell me not to do something. She has in years past, but not anymore. She knows if I hear something from God, I'm going to do it anyway. It's not going to be whether someone gives me approval or not. If God says do it, I'm going to. If he told me to go out there in the middle of the highway and stack BBs standing on my head all day long, I'd sure try it. Probably couldn't get up there, but I'd sure try it, you know. But if he told me to go do it, he'd probably provide a way for me to get standing on my head, wouldn't he? So he'd probably give me the BBs too. So I'm not worried about it.
Round
ones, yeah. Yeah. That's the only way I can get it done, but unless God told me to. Okay, verse 8, he says, I say therefore to the unmarried and the widows, it's good for them if they abide even as I. That's wonderful if you can do it. But again, he said, every man has his own gift of God. Okay, not everybody can live that way. Okay, not everybody can live a celibate life. I don't desire to. God's never put it in my heart to be that way. But I give God all my life that I can possibly give him. So he's not upset with where I'm at. I'm where he wants me to be. He said, but if they cannot contain. And the word contain is not literally a good rendering of this word, the Greek word. It literally says, if they cannot exercise self-restraint, let them marry, whether it be man or woman, because it's better to marry than to do what?
Burn.
Well, that word burn puts a wrong context on it again. What's the first thing everybody thinks when they hear that word burn, Keith? Well, that ain't what it says. Okay? This word here says to be inflamed with lust.
Passion,
see? But the word burn there leaves it incomplete, doesn't it? It lets your mind wander off and draw in all kinds of negative things, doesn't it? See, it's better to marry than be inflamed with lust. Right? And to the unmarried I command, not I, but the Lord, let not the wife depart from her husband. Okay? Excuse me, to the married. And to the married I command, not I, but the Lord, let not the wife depart from her husband. But and if she depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband, and let not the husband send away his wife. Okay? That's pretty self-evident, everything that was said there. But to the rest speak I, not the Lord. He said, now to the rest of the people, I'm going to talk to you. This is my opinion, what he's saying. But to the rest speak I, not the Lord. If any brother has a wife that is what? Literally is a heathen. The language says is a heathen. If a brother has a wife that's a heathen, and she be pleased to dwell with him, let him not put her away or send her away. Okay? Same as a divorce. Put her away, send her away. And the woman which possesses a husband that is a heathen, and if he is pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. Same words as the verse up above which says, put her away. It says, not leave him. Don't send him away. The same Greek word. Verse 14, because the heathen husband is purified, not sanctified. The heathen husband is purified by the wife. Did you hear that? And the heathen wife is purified by the husband. That's what the language says. Else were your children unclean. But now they are what? Literally, it says they're pure. But if the heathen depart, let him depart. A brother or a sister is not under bondage in such is that. But God has called us into peace. Called us in peace. Because what knowest you, O wife, whether you shall deliver your husband? You don't know what's going to happen, do you? Can anybody tell the future? Can you predict what God's going to do through you or with you? You can't tell. So he says, O wife, you don't know whether you're going to deliver your husband, not save, because he's saved by what Jesus did, right? And that was before the foundation of the world, not just on the cross. He did it before the foundation of the world. And he said, what knowest thou, O man, not how, but what knowest thou, O man, if you shall deliver your wife? But as God has distributed to who? Every man, all humanity. As the Lord has called everyone. How many did he call?
Everyone.
In this way, let him not necessarily walk, but let him live. In whatever way God has called you to live, that's what you should be living, correct? Don't let somebody tell you how to live your life. Now, I know all of us just love to have somebody tell us what to do, don't we? What do you think Paul's telling you here? Don't let anybody tell you how to live your life. Didn't the book say this? You were bought with a price, you're not your own. Well then, who bought you? Christ did. Okay, if he purchased you, then what right does any human being have to tell you what to do, Bob?
Who tells me what to do?
Any human being.
Nobody.
No human being has the right to tell any other human being how to live your life. Isn't that a wonderful freedom to know? Because most people that go to church think that the preacher is supposed to tell you and be a spiritual Gestapo to come around and see and make sure everybody does things right. See? They're supposed to control. I'm not supposed to control anybody. Let me take you to a pattern. Jesus came to people and said to them, follow me. Now, what does that word follow mean? That means they're back here behind him, and he's walking it out, showing them how to do it. He wasn't behind them, kicking them in the rear end. I can't get my leg up or I'd kick that. Knee's too sore. Do you see what I mean? He came to lead us. He didn't come to get behind us and to force us into anything. So we're supposed to do exactly what God tells us to do. Is that right? What? He was the absolute example, the pattern son. Okay? He says, and in this way ordain I in all what? Well, guess what? The word church, ecclesia, the called out. What is that, a building or people? He said, I ordain this in all the called people. And how many is called?
All.
See? Nobody's supposed to be telling us what to do. Remember the word sheeple we come up with a few months back? We got to get that mentality, that sheeple mentality out of our mind. Look what he says in the 18th verse. Is any man called being circumcised? Well, let him not become uncircumcised. Well, I don't know how you'd do that anyway. Have to have a transplant. I don't want it back. I know they're talking about your thinking process in your mind. Is any called in uncircumcision? Let him not be circumcised. He said, if you're called the way you are, let me just say it this way in verse 18. Be who you be. Whatever God's called you to be that. Don't let somebody else try to shape you and form you in what their opinion is. See, if I try to live what Ed wants me to do, do you know what I'm really doing? I'm living Ed's life. I'm not living my life. Isn't that right? Keith is supposed to live Keith's life, isn't he? Dave's not supposed to live Keith's life. Keith's not supposed to live Dave's life. It's supposed to live the life that God gave you with nobody else. It's okay to talk and to get counsel, but it's not to tell anybody what to do, is it? He came to set us free, and he did his job, and I am not letting anybody slap chains back on me again. I was dumb enough to do that once, and I'll never happen again. Okay? Look what he says in verse 19. Circumcision is nothing and uncircumcision is nothing. He said it doesn't make any difference. but keeping of the commandments of God. See, obedience. John said in the first, second, and third epistles of John, he said it several times, if you love me, you keep my commandments. Okay? It's about obeying God. Let every man abide in the same calling in which he was called. Isn't that saying the same thing? Be who you be. Be who you be. Stand right there. Whatever God's called you to be. You don't have to prove yourself to any human being. You don't have to prove yourself to me or anybody else on the face of the earth. The only one you've got to answer to is God. He purchased you. You haven't got to answer to anybody else. Okay? That's not saying everybody's supposed to go out and be in rebellion and be islands floating around all the place. No, we're not talking about that. We're talking about I should not be telling you how to live your life. I can show you what God says, and you and Him got to work this thing out in your heart. Not me. I can get enough trouble by myself. I don't need to get everybody else's trouble. Verse 21, are you called being a slave, a doulos, and you care not for it? But if you mayest be made free, and literally it says, if it is possible to become free, go for it. If you can be free, if you're a slave and you can get free, go for it. That's what it's saying. Go for it. Do it. If you can get free. Because, verse 22, he that is called in the Lord being a slave is the Lord's free man. Likewise also is that he that is called being free is Christ's slave. So what is he saying? If I'm a free man, or if I'm a slave and I'm being called, guess what I am? I'm free in Christ. It didn't mean I'm free in the flesh any longer, does it? I still got the same commitment to the one who owns me in the natural. Right? Mm-hmm. Right. And he says, if you're called being free, then you become Christ's bondslave. See? You become a bondslave to him. A bondslave is not someone who is forced into anything. It's because you willfully want to be there. See? You make a commitment. See? Once He speaks to you and resurrects you, once you have the intimacy with Christ and His love, how could you ever turn away?
Bondslave is somebody expected to meet certain criteria.
Right. And we are expected to meet certain criteria. Not a law. But I say this. When I was in church realms, I was under the law. Do and don't do, that do-do stuff, you know. But when God showed me the perfect liberty of love, guess what? I came under a law that's greater than any law that has ever been penned on a piece of paper. This law of love is greater than any law that's ever been penned on a piece of paper. And when He writes it in your heart, that law of love, you're hooked. You'll never get away from it. You don't want to get away from it. Okay? Look at verse 23. You are bought with a price. Correct? That is a quote that he quoted right out of 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. You're bought with a price. You're not your own. Know you not that you're the temple of the living God? Okay? Now, look at the last part of this verse 23. Be not ye the servants of men. You know what that really says? Do not become slaves to humanity. What is humanity? Is that people? People that's in a position of authority, do they have a right to control you? See? Do not become a slave to humanity. Okay? I want to read another translation to you. I can find the verse. It's hard to find this translation. There it is. You have been bought and paid for by Christ. This is the Living Bible. Verse 23. You have been bought and paid for by Christ. So you belong to Him. Be free now from all these earthly prides and fears. The only reason you let someone control you is because of fear. Starts in the mind. Absolutely. Okay? Verse 24. Brethren, let every man wherein he is called, in this abide with God. How many times has he said that already? Wherever you're called, stay there. Be who you be. Don't change because you changed the church. Don't change because the weather changed. Don't change because of some external circumstances. You do what God has put in your heart. Don't worry about what anybody says. If I worried about what anybody said, do you think I'd be where I am today?
Nope.
If I was concerned what my family thinks about me, I would collapse. I'm going to tell you, it was tough coming through to where I'm at today. It wasn't easy because my family rejected me and I didn't do anything. And I thought that was terrible. But you know what I found out? It's a perfect pattern. Jesus did what he did. He did nothing wrong, did he? And they persecuted him. I had a brother got in my face and told me one time, "Who do you think you are comparing yourself to Christ?" And I said, "Well, who am I supposed to compare myself to? You? You don't look like him to me. You don't act like him. I'm looking at the pattern that the Scriptures give me." And that's who we are supposed to be compared to. Not to another human being, but to Christ. And it's a jealousy thing. You know, people are jealous. If someone thinks that you are going to go past them and they're always measuring themselves to you, you see, you're here and I'm here, back and forth, that's foolishness. If I compare myself to Christ, the only thing I can do is fall short most of the time. But that's not bad because I'm still going that direction. I'm in a process. But there's a lot of jealousies in what they call the church realm. No, I'm going on. I don't care what anybody else goes, what anybody else does, I am going on. Verse 25. Now we're getting into something else. Now concerning what? Not virgins. Unmarried. Unmarried daughters. Does that mean that they're virgins? No. It says unmarried daughters. Now concerning your unmarried daughters, I have no commandment of the Lord. Well, that should be the end of it right there. If God doesn't command it, then what should I do? Not worry a whole lot about it. Yet I give my what? Opinion. I give my opinion. Okay, he's speaking some of this stuff, it's opinion, and he tells you it is. See, he's not hiding it. He said, well, this isn't the command of the Lord, this is my opinion. As one that has what? This here in the King James says, obtained mercy, and that's not true. It literally says, I have experienced the mercy of the Lord to be faithful. Once you've experienced God, nobody can ever get it away from you, can they? Okay? I suppose, therefore, that this... And it should be the word that should be there. I suppose, therefore, this to be good for the impending distress. What's he telling you? You got some stuff coming. It's good for you to go through these distresses. What's it doing for you? It's building the character of God and the nature of God in you, and it's teaching you, it's processing you, bringing you to the fullness of Christ. Okay? It's correcting, it's all kinds of things going on, but God is doing it for us. And he says, I say that it is good for a man in this way to exist. A man should exist in the tests and to be celibate. That's what he's talking about. Be without a woman. He said, are you bound to a wife? Seek not to be loosed. Are you divorced from a wife? Seek not a wife. But and if you marry, you have not sinned. Okay. Now, that tears it all down, don't it? Because they say if you remarry after you've been married before and you remarry again...
No, I can sort of see that. If you're married, then you've got somebody to help you form an opinion. Mm-hmm. If you're single, you're up to facing that whole thing between yourself and God.
Right. And you can give all your attention to him.
That's right.
But I'm talking about the divorce thing.
Oh.
Okay. Well, in the divorce thing... The church world has taught for years that if you're married, if you're married a second time, you're in sin. Yeah, you're in some kind of sin. What did he say right there? If you're divorced and you remarry, what's it say? You have not sinned. Hello. That ought to kick him in the teeth, shouldn't it? Oh, my goodness. Help us, Lord. And he said, and if a virgin, no, if an unmarried daughter marry, she has not sinned. Nevertheless, Such shall have what? Philipsis, pressure in the what? But I what? That's not what it really says. It really says, I'm cautious for you. I'm cautious for you. Okay? He said, but if you marry, what's going to happen? Keith, when you got married, you and Linda, you've never had a problem, have you? What did he just say right there? You are going to have pressure, tribulation, where? In the flesh.
Only in the flesh.
It's not in your spirit. It's in your flesh. Is there any way you can get out of that?
Nope.
Jesus said in John 16, in the world you shall have tribulation. Same word, pressure. You'll have all these pressures. And Keith, you never felt pressure before, have you?
No.
Okay, just make sure. Since you got married, especially, there's been no... Right, Linda? But see, he's going to tell you, you're always going to have this in the flesh. He said, but I'm cautious for you. You know, I'm really feeling sorry for you. But if you go ahead and do that, that's okay. You're not sinned, but you're going to go through some real tough stuff. No. I think he omitted some things he thought. I don't think he had to express everything in his mind. Okay? But this I say, brethren, the time is short. It remains that they that have wives be as though they have none. I think that time's on us, isn't it? And they that weep as though they wept not, and they that rejoice as though they rejoice not, and they that buy as though they possess not, and they that use this world or cosmos as not consuming it, not abusing it, but consuming it. See? And they that use this world as though they're not consuming it, because the, not fashion, but the figure or the external condition of this cosmos is disappearing. Hello? You think he's talking about that world out there? He's talking about this. It's disappearing. The external appearance of this is changing. It's disappearing because the nature of Christ is coming in its place. Hello? Absolutely. It'll make you smooth. See here? It'll make you smooth. Let me read verse 31 again. And they that use this world or cosmos as not consuming it, because the external condition of this cosmos is disappearing. Okay? But I would have you not anxious, not without carefulness. The word is, I would have you not to be anxious. What's my favorite verse? Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in all things give thanks unto God. See? In all things. Did he say some things or ALL things? Even the bad things, even in marriage, give thanks to God for it. Oh, goodness. He that is unmarried cares for the things of the Lord, how he may please the Lord. That's pretty simple, isn't it? If I'm unmarried, then who have I got to spend my life with? You, me, and God. See, I don't have to answer to any other person. So he's saying this is a wonderful thing if you can abide this way, but it's a gift of God. You can't just do it because you want to. It's a gift of God. But he that is married cares for the things which are of this world, how that he may please his wife. Yeah, speaking Japanese. But look at verse 33 again. But he that is married cares for, and that word cares for is the same word that we used in verse 32 where it says without carefulness or not anxious. So verse 33 should read this way. But he that is married is anxious about the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife. Okay? There is a difference also, there is a difference in the word also, isn't there? It should be, there is a difference between a wife and a unmarried daughter. The unmarried, the woman shouldn't be there either. The unmarried cares or is anxious about the things of the Lord, that she, not may, but that she be holy both in body and in spirit. But she that is married is anxious about the things of the world, how she may please her husband. And this I speak for your own profit or your benefit or your advantage. Not that I may cast a snare upon you. He said, I'm not trying to make you feel guilty. I'm just trying to tell you the truth. Because you know how many people have changed their lives and their divorces came because churches have preached that a woman would be better off by herself and a man by herself? There's people that's run out and done those stupid things, divorced each other because of some ignorant person putting a law on somebody, a rule or a regulation. He said, I'm not putting a snare on you. I'm telling you, if you are married, stay married. That's what he's telling you. If you're divorced, stay divorced. You're better off that way. But if you can't contain your lust, then go ahead and marry. Because it's better to marry than to be burnt up with the lusts of the world. That's all he's saying to you. He's not saying you have to go out there and live by yourself a celibate lifestyle. But there's churches that teach that stuff and it's not right. Because your mind certainly wouldn't be on the things of the Lord. You'd be thinking all other kinds of things. Okay? Okay, he says, I speak this for your profit, your benefit, your advantage. Not that I may cast a snare upon you, but for that which is comely, and that you have constant devotion to the Lord without distraction. Do you hear that? Not that you may attend upon the Lord, but that you may have constant devotion to the Lord without distraction. See, if I don't have a mate in this world, in the natural, then I can devote 100% of my time to the Lord, can I? Don't have to worry about anything else. Don't have to worry about, is my wife expecting me home? Should I do this for her? Should I do that for her? See, if God didn't give you that gift, then you can't do that. You're going to be in pure torment in your mind, literally in a hell in your mind, trying to live something God hasn't called you to do. If God didn't tell you to live a celibate life, then why would you do it? Why do you think the Catholic Church is struggling so hard with this rule that they put on the priest about not being married? Why do you think there's so much sexual abuse in the church of the children? Because they've had a rule put on them that the man put on them, not God. God didn't tell them that. Sure, and the women can't have sex, the nuns either, see? That's all man's rule. It's not God. They come up with these crazy rules, and I'm not picking on the Catholic Church. That's something that was done years ago, and it's just a tradition that they hold to that's not of God. That's just somebody's idea. Well, there's a priest in the United States that's been married for 20-some years. Down in Florida, happily married, and got a whole house full of kids, and they know about it, and they haven't said a word. As long as he stays inconspicuous, they don't even want that out. But it's on the news, so they're still not doing anything about it. Okay? Where are we at? Oh, okay, verse 36. But if any man think that he is behaved himself uncomely, or literally, is acting unbecoming toward his unmarried daughter, if she pass the flower of her age and need so require, let him do what he will, he sins not, let them marry. Okay? Now hang on to what I'm saying here, because these next two verses, these verses go together. He said, if she requires, it says, so if she needs so require, or literally she needs to be married, let him do what he will, he sins not, let them marry. If she feels like she really needs to marry, you have a daughter, and we're talking about in a culture where the parents chose the mates, didn't they? He said, if she wants to marry real bad, they want to marry, you can let them marry if you want to, but if you don't want to get married, let them get married, then you can hold off. Let me go ahead to the rest of it. The next verse. Nevertheless, he that stands steadfast in his heart, that means you have a confidence in your heart that God doesn't want this woman to be married, and she's your daughter, and in that culture, they were allowed to hold him back, having no necessity, but has power over his own will. Okay? And has so decreed in his heart that he will keep his virgin, he does well. Now the word keep his virgin, what do you think that means? He's going to take care of her daughter, all of her needs throughout her life. He's going to take care of her. You know, he's going to make sure she has food and clothing and everything taken care of. If he wants to do that, that's fine. And he said, that's well. So then he that gives her in marriage does well, he says. But he that gives her not in marriage does better. Why? Because she's still dedicated to the Lord. And she has all of her time devoted to him. And verse 39 goes on to say, the wife is bound by the law as long as her husband lives. But if her husband be dead, she is at liberty, or literally she is free to be married to whom she will, only in the Lord. What's he saying? If the husband's dead, she can marry anybody she wants to, but only in the Lord. That means not hunting out another heathen husband. Then. The spiritual realm in the faith to where she's going. I think, let me see something here. Something just popped in my head. Let me get there. Galatians. Yep. In Galatians chapter 4, Paul writes again. I'll start in the first verse, read through a few verses. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, a simple-minded, non-speaking, immature Christian, is what the language says, differs nothing from a slave, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. See, that's not our time, is it? Even so, or in this way, when we were nepios, that's simple-minded, non-speaking, immature Christians, we were in bondage, or we were enslaved under the elements or the first principles of the cosmos, or the orderly arrangement in the mind of man. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that are under the law, that we might receive adoption of sons. And I'm reading the wrong place there. That's not what I wanted to go to. Oh well. Anyway, Paul said, beg pardon? Somebody needed to hear it, I guess. I don't know. I was talking about where he said, can't even pull out the verse now. I'm blanked out, so I'll let it go. One more verse, right? She's at liberty to be married to whom she will, only in the Lord. But she is blessed, not happier, the word is blessed. She is blessed if she so abide, according to my opinion. And I think also I possess the Spirit of God. Paul's saying, I think if the woman remains unmarried, single, celibate, she's better off according to his opinion. Correct? Any questions? Yoke. And what he was saying was when Paul wrote that in Corinthians, that's 1 Corinthians 6. Yeah, 1 Corinthians 6. Anyway, what he was saying was the same thing that God said in the Old Testament under the law. To marry one of the faith. Don't go outside the faith of Israel to find your mate. Well, but you know, it didn't say that. He said to stay with them. If you still desire to be together, stay together, because you don't know if you're going to convert that person,
right,
or if you're the unbeliever that they might convert you. See? And I don't think what this situation comes up is that I think maybe they might have both been unbelieving at the time when they got married, possibly. And the woman, you know, if you go into church realms, how many places there's more women than there is men? A little different around here, but for tonight, but you know, most of the time there's more women in the church than there are men. And the women go in, and the men a lot of times say, well, that's okay, you go, I don't need it, you need it, you know, you go ahead, you know. It's, they think like it's not for them, you know. But it's not so, is it? She's seeking, well, when the husband doesn't fulfill her the way that he should, like Christ did, then she's going to seek that in another place, and that is the right place is to find it in God. Some women go out and seek it in another man, you know, not in God.
No.
Yeah. No.
Or another woman.
You never know. It happens, Bob.